to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 59 and a half. It is a bonus edition from Curitiba, Brazil. We're a few hours later than we normally are because, damn it, I was exhausted last night. I had to get a couple hours of sleep. John Morgan here, and back by popular demand, the lovely and talented Mrs. Fernanda Praches. You are with us. Cold Coffee is not with us because he is on the other side of this wall right over here snoozing.
Sleepy, probably, yeah. Well, you guys can probably tell by my voice. It's been a long week. So sorry about that, guys.
It has been a bit of a long week, and we were all just wrapping up work last night. I was like, you know what? There's no way we can get this podcast done. So let's get a couple of hours sleep. Hopefully Cold Coffee will wake up at some point because I'm sure he wants to come in here and brag about his Ohio boy Stipe picking up the win. All right, we're spending an extra day in Brazil. We're hanging out a little bit, so we figured let's get a few hours. Let's do this. But let's talk about the fights that were last night. The main event, not good for Brazil. It was. I wanted Cold Coffee to be here because it was Cold Coffee's boy Stipe from Ohio.
And we had that conversation like before, and I was like, "Oh, I wonder what Miocic can do." And Kenny was like, "He can knock him out." I'm like, "Well, yeah, but yeah, well, obviously, I guess I suck at predictions." But no, in my defense, I always said that that was like the way that he could possibly win, and he did. It was awkward. It was like,
yeah, the air went out of the arena. I mean, 45,000 Brazilians went silent. I think that was your tweet at the time.
It was like
just awkward
because it was like, and I was watching it from the auxiliary seating area or whatever. You guys don't even know what that is. I'm sorry. So it was just,
you got to come out from behind your hole in the press room
and
actually see a couple of fights.
Exactly. I thought like I really wanted to be there, having covered every Brazilian event since the first one. I mean, to me, it was really like kind of like on a personal level, something that I really wanted to experience.
Well, that was, and we'll talk about it in a second, but you had to take in that atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly, because it was crazy. I actually got to sneak out to see Cyborg too because I was really curious, and it was insane.
It was amazing.
And and then Verdum, and it kind of like, I feel like people keep giving him like a little bit of shit because he was like smiling and prancing around and not focused. That's him though. And honestly, how can you not? Like, he was getting so much love there, and he was just taking it in. So I honestly don't see that as like a problem or something that was in the way.
He kind of had to defend himself at the press conference and say, "Listen, I know people are saying, you know, that way, but no, this is me."
And this is him, and it's always been. And he always like walks out to like the most ridiculous songs. By the way, that's probably like his first serious song ever.
Right,
the Cursed song. By the way, in case you guys don't know it,
share that. It was, first of all, I didn't know, I thought it was a song about Ayrton Senna.
No, it was a theme that they played. Ayrton Senna. I don't know if you know. I was a kid, but I was like 4 when he was a thing. But when he died, I think it was 5. But he was enormous. It's not like, you know, he was huge in Brazil. He was such an icon. So everybody stopped
to
watch
him. I guess we're saying F1 driver, if people don't know, right? Most people should know the name. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, F1, apparently that's a thing still. F1, is that still a thing? Anyway, so he... they played that song when he won, like it was his victory song or whatever. I don't know if like he played or if it was global and he raced, but yeah. So it was his theme song, and it became like associated with victory, like in memes and whatever. Like you just play that when somebody wins something. Like it became, but in the UFC though, Maldonado walked out to that one when he lost to Miocic. So yeah.
So that song is 0-2 against Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I
note to future Brazilians or future Ayrton Senna fans.
Yes, just don't do that, again.
Well, I mean, you said Verdum. I mean, they was catching a lot of grief for kind of his attitude, and I believe it, but I didn't think he was fighting that bad of a fight. I thought he came out pretty patient, but I will say the moment he got knocked out, I did think that he, like, just, I don't want to say he got careless. I mean, I felt like he just kind of, like, rushed for, not necessarily, like, diving for a takedown, but was just trying to get too close and get his hands on him, of course, because that's what we all thought he would do. That's how I thought Verdum was going to win.
Yeah, me too. I thought he was going to submit.
Catch him in a transition, get on his back or something. He's so great at that. But I do feel like at that point, it was just kind of like,
relentless,
he just decided to hell with it. I'm going for broke. I'm going to do this now.
And why?
Yeah.
Like, he's not that type of fighter.
Yeah, you've got...
He doesn't need to do that.
It's the first round. You got 4 more rounds to go this. You know what I mean? You could literally just dance around for 15 minutes and in the fourth round then start, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So I will say, just watching live, I don't want to take away anything from Stipe Miocic because, first of all, I mean, I didn't know that he had that kind of power. I mean, I know he's knocked out a lot of people, but to be moving back and that there
Yeah.
was a short shot. But I did feel like
And
Verdum maybe made
Verdum
a little
hasn't been
tactical
knocked
error.
out in forever.
Right.
So that's honestly why that was like my reasoning behind my saying that
Absolutely.
Miocic could knock him out, but I thought it was difficult. He
Not
hadn't been
just because he
knocked
was
out.
Brazilian.
Yeah, well, guys, just to clarify, obviously I'm like I suck at being a Brazilian. Like I didn't get this English by like watching Brazilian movies and reading Brazilian books and whatever. So,
You basically identify yourself more as an American than you do as a Brazilian at
yeah,
this point.
well. Clearly, like I make Kardashian references. Well, nobody in the U.S. people hate the Kardashians too, so I don't know where that came from. But anyway, but yeah, that was like my whole reasoning behind it. Like, yeah, I knew Miocic had power, but not that much power,
Right.
and I knew that Verdum could take punches. He could
Yeah.
take a hit. So, to me, it was kind of like I totally agree with you. I think he got a little bit careless, and he. As his style doesn't demand that. Usually, when that happens, you get a guy saying that he was injured and he wanted to get it over with because he couldn't do like 5 rounds.
Right.
That's like usually the type of excuse we get when that
Right.
kind of thing happens. So I'm actually curious. Like he's become such a smart fighter that I don't know what happened there that he just got, you know, careless. But I don't know. Maybe it was just like he wanted to make a statement, which I also thought that he was gonna try to make and just get it done. In the first round and be like, yeah, I'm here, like whatever, and it didn't pan out for him. And I mean, congrats, Miocic, but it was as you know, I'm a journalist, I'm not supposed to have a bias, but it was a little bit strange in that arena, just the atmosphere.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about. So, this arena, I've been fortunate enough that all four of the arena shows that the UFC has had, I've been at all four of them. So
Humble
I've had a chance. I'm
brag.
just throwing it out there. I'm just saying. But no, I've been to all four of them. And to me, that was honestly just the setup of it, the way it felt. First of all, the volume. I think the acoustics were part of it. But the
Yeah.
other thing is it's 45,000 Brazilians, you
Yeah.
know, not 45,000 of other countries. But it was amazing. I thought the arena looked fantastic. I thought everything about it was an amazing night. I mean, it was so loud. The first prelim of the
Yeah.
night, I couldn't even hear the bell to end the
Yeah.
first round. It was that
Right.
great.
Yeah.
And then it goes silent. But kudos to the Brazilian people. Like once everything had, you know,
Really
they
respectful.
cheered.
Yeah.
Stipe kind of looked around like, "What? I knocked
Yeah.
him out. Like, don't you want fights?" And they were like, "No, you're right, bro. You're right. That was a knockout." But I do
Fair
wonder,
enough.
what is it? I mean, does that do anything bad? Because the show as a whole, I thought was fun. I mean, if you just look top to bottom, like it was a lot of great fights, and
Yeah.
obviously there were amazing names on the card top to bottom. But I mean, seeing a guy lose in the main event like that, does that do anything bad towards like, man, we're not going to be able to pull off another stadium show here for a while?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, my main concern really was just like seeing an injury or something gross and awful, or just kind of like as soon as Verdum fell, like he better pop right back up.
Right.
Because if he stayed there for a while, this is like all eyes are on this. So it's like people who want to talk trash about MMA and the UFC would have like a fucking field day if that happened. But I don't think so, honestly. Like, obviously, a great card, Curitiba. I think we kind of noticed from Fight Week that we have like actual. Fans, hardcore. You've been given autographs and pictures all week. I've seen
Don't
it.
say
We're out having dinner, and like a bunch of like MMA dude bros approach us and go like, "Oh, John Morgan, I'm such a huge fan." At the bar, like every time I looked, you were like chatting with a fan. So
Unfortunate.
I think this shows
Unfortunate.
that you know we're dealing with hardcores
I
here.
agree.
So and. An
Or that I'm the
educated
world's
crowd.
biggest superstar.
Oh, that's you. I
One of the two.
mean, these things can
I mean,
totally coexist.
usually people are like, you know, David Beckham,
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo,
John Morgan.
John Morgan.
Yeah. I used to have a poster of you in my room as a teenager. I didn't want to bring that up now. Not, you
It's kind
know.
of an awkward time.
Yeah, just, but I did have it.
It's
I
good to
did
know.
have it. Yes, it was like right next to like Nick Carter, John Morgan.
I get that comparison a lot. I get that comparison a lot. No, this was a great city. You're right, and I do think I do hope that this arena specifically. I mean, we know Brazil is going to be a continued home for the UFC. Less, not seven events a year like it was a couple years
Which
ago,
is
but
great.
which
I
is
mean,
better.
there's really, we have no business doing freaking like
Yeah.
have. I don't even remember those main events that we watched. Like, I've completely erased some cards from my
There's
mind.
Cities I couldn't even tell you I've been to. People are like, where have you been in Brazil? And I'm like, start listing them off, and I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Because it was ridiculous.
Because it's like an unremarkable event, or an event that usually rested in one fight, and then the fight falls through, and you're like left with Miocic versus Maldonado as a main event.
Where here we get Anderson Silva fall off the card, and it's still a hell of a night. Yeah. With a lot of great stories. But I do hope this arena, you can't do one. I mean, you can't do an arena show every year. We know that. You need the right fights. The right situation
and the right arena, because that one had the roof, which is very important. Yeah. Like, this is not a thing that happens in every fucking.
But
year.
I hope this specific venue is a host to a show like this every couple of
Honestly,
years.
Honestly, I think they just might. I mean, it would make perfect sense. I mean, imagine if we ever get like Cyborg versus Ronda, and if you do that in that stadium here, that would be crazy.
That would be awesome. We'll talk about Cyborg in a second because that was amazing. Let's talk about Verdum. He called for the rematch afterwards. I mean, listen, I'm sure he's incredibly disappointed. He wasn't going out there looking to lose, definitely not to lose in the first round. I mean, anybody that's a champ, anybody, period, the first thing they're going to do is call for a rematch. Yeah. But I don't know, man. First of all, he's trying to do a rematch in like 60 days, which is insane. Yeah. He's on a 30-day suspension. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, it sounds like Overeem's supposed to be next, and I think that's the right fight. I don't think you need a rematch here.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens is that sometimes looks unfair is that obviously some fighters get immediate rematches for reasons that we do not understand.
Just not Brazilians.
In a Brazilian zone. Honestly, though, it's not me just saying that, like, oh, I want my boys to be like, no, it's kind of like it's a fact.
Right.
It's reality. I just call Mike Bond and he'll
the
fact
the
person. Yeah. He's the stats guy. He'll give me the facts. But, like, it's clearly something that's been sort of happening. A few exceptions. Renan Baron obviously got his immediate rematch. But then it's like he blew that and it's like, yeah, fuck it. We don't like you anymore, Renan. Seriously. He got treated like shit.
Renan Baron represents all Brazilians. Like, no, they're terrible at rematches.
Yeah, we tried, dude. Like, we gave it our best shot. But I feel like that's something that people kind of like, why is that? And at the end of the day, we're not going to understand or agree with all the decisions that are made. But I agree with you. I would just think that it's Miocic and Overeem now. And we'll see what happens there. I mean, I'm done like counting Overeem out. I've always been such an Overeem hater for no reason. I don't know. I always count him out. I always think like he's not the real deal. He's not the real deal. But he's been proving me wrong consistently.
I agree. And, having a chance to see those two fights back-to-back weeks, the timing just makes sense. They should be on the same health pattern and two great strikers. Should be a lot of fun.
But if they do JDS versus Verdum in Brazil, though, even if it's not obviously a title fight, I think it would be a huge one for Brazilians.
See, that's interesting you say that because I thought, for the longest time, we were under this assumption that Brazilians hate watching Brazilians fight Brazilians.
No. Fuck no. Vitor and Jacare, you saw that.
Yeah.
And we might pick a side, we might not, but, like, Vitor and Anderson changed everything for Brazilian
True.
MMA.
True.
It was, like, the thing that – it was actually my thesis, my graduation thesis.
That was the
funny.
Moment that launched the Brazilian
phenomenon. Yeah, I was talking about the switch in, like, MMA coverage and how, like, it really became a totally different game after that. So it was a game changer to Brazilians. So, and JDS, like, he's so popular here. So popular. I think a lot of it has to do with his charisma, the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
He was commenting the fights for Globo last night.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't see him there.
Yeah, he's good doing comments. I mean, sometimes he comes across as sort of like Homer, but
whatever.
But I think he's like very smart and his analysis are good. He's making a good like little package deal out of himself. And he was the first fight that Globo aired live.
Right.
It was him when he got the belt, knocking Kane out that fashion. So I think that stuck in a way that he just became sort of a household name. He's very popular. So
that's interesting.
I think JDS and
Verdum
would be good. Because
Verdum, and then obviously Verdum does the commentary for the Latin American Tough Network. So there's just so much, so many people watching both those. I was initially thinking like Arlovsky or Rothwell, but you make a good case. You may have swayed me. Maybe that's what they do next.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it will depend. But, like, if you want to, we have the rumored event in
Brasília in
September, yeah.
September, right?
So that would be if Verdum can do that. He could do that turnaround.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Easy main event. Yeah, we should say, I guess, that that was the rumor date. I think, as it works in Brazil, when you hear a rumor about what's coming
it's
next,
usually true.
That's what's coming next.
But the venues change, though. Like, every now and then, people say it's that city, and then it's a completely
true that.
Different one.
Yeah, you're right about that. And Giovanni Decker said at the press conference last night, he said, listen, I mean, we can't say it's official until the ink's dry on the contracts. It's not. I guess we just – people would hopefully know, but I guess the reason the summer is being avoided is the Olympics in Brazil are a big deal.
Yeah, sort of, yes. There's sort of – I don't know if you guys ever heard of that little event that happens every
so
4 years.
Skipping Brazil for that. Yeah. They'll come back in September, and then they're going to try to do one more event, which you got to think would either be Rio or Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they want to be in those markets if they can.
Probably Rio. I think Rio is the one that
– and that's without anybody saying anything. I'm just guessing. You know what I mean? Like, you know they want to be in those markets. So we'll have two more events in Brazil this year. Two more opportunities for Fernanda Prates to weigh in and show us what's up. Hopefully we'll get her in the United States for one of these cards.
You could just call me, though.
No, I'm ridiculous.
I've been trying, guys. I've been trying to make my case here.
She's like, can't you just do
– To be more – so you go on Twitter and you just let him know, like, we want some Fernanda.
Cold Coffee better wake his ass up. He's going to lose a job.
So you fans – and by that, I mean my mom. You go on Twitter.
I guess we should say the reason the young Mike Bond is not here as well is because he's actually already headed back. He had to leave a little bit earlier than we do. Otherwise, we would, of course, ask him to step in and give us his incredible Canadian opinions and statistics.
His very polite Canadian opinions.
Very polite Canadian opinions. All right, co-main event, Ronaldo Jacaré Souza, Vitor Belfort. I think you and I both thought Jacaré was going to win this fight.
Yeah.
I think most people thought Jacaré was going to win this fight.
Not that fashion, though.
Not that way. Never in my life. I was like, you know what's going to happen is Jacaré is just going to beat Vitor Belfort like a little kid. I mean, I figured it was going to go to the ground. I figured, you know, there was going to be a transition and a submission, you know, but Jacaré literally just beat the crap out of Vitor Belfort.
It was a sight, man. And that's it. Like, when they went, like, obviously to the ground, and then he got the full mount, and I'm like, you don't want to be under the full mount with Jacaré just, like, on top of you. But I honestly thought he was going to go for a sub at some point, or that maybe he was going to try to, like, outlast Vitor in the first round, because everybody knows that Vitor is a first round fighter.
Right.
So I just thought, like, he was gonna maybe try to, like, hold his, like, his drive in the first round, and then maybe, like, go from there. And that was, like, a beating. And it's interesting, because with Vitor, like I said in the pre-fight podcast, we never know which Vitor we're gonna get, and then they might schedule his next fight, and we're all counting him out, and then he goes and knocks people out. So it's kind of like we don't even know anymore. But at this point, I don't feel like he's title material.
Well, you're right, because it's funny. I thought Jacaré all the way, but then, you know, all of a sudden you see Vitor, and you're like, oh my, why did I pick against Vitor? Like, he can knock anybody
Who
out.
Who does that?
Oh my God, I'm such an idiot, you know? And then Jacaré handles me like, oh no, I knew what I was talking about all along. Yeah. So let's talk about Vitor first. He did show up to the press conference, which I didn't think he would. Good for him. I think we've talked about it at length before, but if you happen to listen for the first time, Vitor is a huge superstar here.
Yeah.
He's one of the mainstream that's gone beyond just sporting figure.
Yeah.
But he's been in the game for 20 years. He hasn't been having a heck of a lot of success lately. You're right. I think that last night was his last chance to ever compete for a title again.
Yeah.
Will he be willing to stick around and fight maybe lesser figures and still stay in this game? Or do you think at, 39 years old is the end near? He didn't go into the cliche mode Vitor last night, but he did kind of give us the one fight at a time thing, which I think is probably right at 39 years old. You can't look too far in the future, but I don't know. What do you think we'd see out of Vitor moving forward? Because he has to be – I mean, he takes it hard, you know?
That's a really good question, honestly. I don't know. Like, with Vitor, it's kind of like he's so rehearsed in the way that he speaks usually that it's very hard to understand, like, how hard things actually hit him. He's a professional. Like, I kind of course, he showed up. Like, I thought he might have to go to the hospital, but he didn't. And, of course, he showed up. And he, like, pays attention. He talks to the fans. He does the rounds. He doesn't need this anymore. Like, he has other ways of making
He's
money.
wealthy, right? By all accounts, he's.
He's probably wealthy and he's smart.
Right.
Like, he didn't, like, that's not everything that he has in life. He's always been this one guy who was worried about sponsorships. He's the one guy who's now talking about, like, fighters uniting to, you know, make sure that they're getting paid properly, that they're being taken care of properly. He's no dummy. He's an insanely smart guy who knows how to make money and who knows how to keep it. And, you know, so he doesn't need it. But from what I hear, he just loves training. He
Yeah.
loves being there. Like, he likes,
It's been his
he's
life.
hungry.
His
It's his
life.
life. Dude, he started, he was like 17 and we saw him like, so he's, I don't, I see him like doing special fights from now on, like taking the, like every other fight in Brazil, maybe just, but I think he's probably gonna get picky.
Right.
Like, just do money fights, not do like, you know,
Yeah.
fight whatever.
It's interesting. I mean, I was just pulling up his record looking at it. I mean, the people that, I mean, he is actually 4-2 in his last six fights, which is crazy. So that's not like a bad record, but
Yeah.
it's just when he gets to that top tier. But you look at the names: Jacare Souza, Dan Henderson,
Yeah.
Chris Weidman, Dan Henderson, Luke Rockhold, Michael Bisping, John Jones, Anthony
Yeah.
Johnson, Yoshihiro Akiyama, Anderson Silva, Rich Franklin, Matt Lindland. That's I didn't
Yeah.
skip any names. That's literally the
Yeah,
order
well,
of people he has
Akiyama just
fought.
kind of slid in there,
Yeah,
like,
you know, you should do that, man.
you
Old school. That's old school there.
know.
But I mean, he really has been fighting the best of the best forever. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be a number one contender or championship type fights moving forward. But I think he's still a draw. If he wants to fight, he could still fight. It's just not going to be for the title. You're going to have to be in
Yeah.
that place where you said it's just fights for the money and fights for the show.
And that's what I think like would probably be the smartest thing or just like a cool thing for him to do since he likes it, he enjoys it. If he feels well, like all the power to you. I'm not one to ever like call for retirement for fighters 'cause I feel like it's a personal decision
Absolutely.
that I have if somebody says like you should stop being a journalist
You
now,
should
should
totally
stop
stop
being a
writing.
writer.
Yeah.
Like it's what I've been doing my entire life, and say like you should totally stop writing. Like you suck at it now, dude. It's, you know, so I don't ever put myself in the position of doing that to other people, even though sometimes we kind of like just have to.
Yeah, so I mean, sometimes you say, listen, I'm a little scared for this person's health.
Yeah,
You know, maybe they should take
yeah,
a break. And I don't think I'm necessarily there with him
yeah.
yet.
I'm not at
You
all,
know?
honestly. Like I feel like he's very smart about his training. He's not going around getting injured all the time.
Right. It's true.
You know.
You know, here's what I know, it's funny because as you were talking about, you know, kind of where he is in life and his intelligence, and you're so right. It made me think a little bit about what happened with Wanderlei Silva when his career ended, where he tried to become like a voice for the fighters, but he did it in
That
an
backfired.
incredibly bizarre way,
Yeah.
where he basically just ended up pissing off everybody, and I think hurting his reputation quite a bit, to be honest
Yeah.
with you. I don't. I mean, sure, you can't take away what he accomplished in the
Yeah.
cage or in the ring, as he was for most of his career. But I don't think people necessarily look to him to be like a leader of the MMA community. I wonder. Because Vitor, outside of Brazil, of course, is a bit of a controversial figure. I mean, he was the poster boy for TRT, even though,
Yeah.
like, you know,
Yeah.
that was the TRT era, and some
Yeah.
people nobody cared about. He just became the guy that everybody was
Yeah,
scrutinizing, and
I know, yeah.
you know, and he had some tensions with the UFC, and but he is, man. When you hear him talk about, you know, fighter pay and sponsorship and all these things,
Yeah.
like, he makes intelligent, well thought out conversations. He makes great points.
Yeah.
I do wonder if. You know, again, not trying to say he's done because he could continue fighting, but could he maybe be a voice, a representative, an ambassador of the people? And I don't know if necessarily like work for the UFC the way like Big Nog does, but you know, maybe be a kind of a voice of change, of reason, of I don't know if we'll ever have a fighters union, but at least
Yeah.
somebody to help go between to help make change in the industry.
He would have to like seriously like just have his speech tight because he's not unanimous with the Brazilian fighters. Like he's got beef with people.
Really?
Yeah. Just because I think he's always been intelligent enough to kind of like know when to leave teams that when
Ah, that's true.
you
Yeah.
know he's not just you know and you know Brazilian fighters, they're very like attached to the ideal of it and to the philosophy of martial arts and to the like kind of like you know the romantic aspect of it. And Vitor has he's not a romantic fighter,
Right.
he's a pragmatic type of guy. So that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And this is the kind of thing like I feel like he gets a lot of flack from media and from like that I don't. don't think it's fair. So I always like find myself in the position of sort of defending Vitor because I feel like we can totally understand his side. He's a smart guy who wants to like make the best for himself and for his family.
Yep.
So you go there, but then I get why the fighters would be pissed because they are like this tight-knit community, and this guy like kind of like sometimes acts like, he doesn't care about them. He cares about himself. He's
Right.
looking out for himself. So that's what he
Yeah, you're right.
has.
It's interesting. I hopefully we'll give Vitor a couple of weeks or whatever to cool off and to settle in and spend some
Yeah.
time with his family, and then we'll definitely have that on our list to follow up. Our new Brazilian-based reporter can certainly be beneficial in that. Let's talk
Yeah.
about Jacare Souza. Jacare looked fantastic. Jacare, it's weird because now he's calling for a title shot. He's technically coming off a loss
Yeah.
to Yoel Romero. I scored that fight for Jacare. It's one of those ones I don't want to necessarily say
Yeah.
robbery because
It was close,
it was
yeah.
close and it was kind of a crappy fight,
Yeah,
overall.
and there was like the cheating thing, like the whole like cage thing, and I think everybody just thought it would be fair to deduct those points, but the ref didn't.
Right.
So I totally get like I think everybody's kind of torn in that, like the way they scored that fight. But yeah, I scored
Totally.
it for Jacare.
So I just wonder what we do next because we're only a couple weeks away from Rockhold and Weidman too. So we'll have a new, we'll have a champion that needs a new contender
Yeah.
very soon. And I guess we need to talk to Dana White about it. I mean, obviously we didn't ask Giovanni Decker last night because he has no input into
Yeah.
title matchmaking,
Yeah.
whatever. But Yoel Romero is technically on suspension right now. Now
Yeah.
he had his suspension reduced, made what turned out to be a pretty convincing argument and was able to actually get his web or his web this fucking word website come on his suspension reduced. I don't know what I'm looking at. Get his suspension reduced. So I wonder how the UFC looks at that because I mean you don't want to give a guy a title shot coming off a drug suspension, but I think the argument that he made that hey man I was taking something that should have been completely legal,
Yeah.
it wasn't. I'm going to serve my time anyway, but now I think I should get it. And he's the one that is coming off a victory here. I don't know. Do you think Jacare should jump to the front? Because I think you got three options. You got Jacare, who's honestly probably the most deserving contender,
Yeah.
except for the loss. You have Yoel Romero, who had the win, so that might make him the more deserving one, except that he has this drug suspension. That doesn't look so good. And then you
Yeah.
got Michael Bisping, and Michael Bisping is not necessarily – he's on a win streak. He's not necessarily the
He's our
most
Leo
There you go, the Leo DiCaprio. He's
DiCaprio, as we
just
agreed.
he's not
Help a
necessarily
brother out, bro.
he's not number one, but get the guy his due. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that much longer to fight. I wouldn't hate it if they gave Bisping a title
Yeah.
shot. You know what I mean? Just to say thank you for everything you've done. Yeah, Jacare would be a
Jacare
fan. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, if you were the matchmaker, what do you think the right call is?
would. It's a really tough one. I mean, like, honestly, I would give it to Jacare, a homer pick, but like,
Homer.
honestly, just because he was a sport about everything. Like, he was supposed to have had it before, but then he had to fight Chris Camozzi again because, like, and it was not his fault at all. And then he was just like, yeah, so you didn't win over like a big name, so we're just gonna have you like wait around for a little longer. He
He was like, wait a minute, that was
What
not my
could he
fault.
do? Like, refuse the fight? And then, he was like really stuck between a rock and a hard place in that one. And he did what he had to do. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to take that fight. I'm just going to, like, smoke this man. So you guys know that, I'm in a whole
Yes, it was a
different
mismatch, but
level.
I proved it was a mismatch.
So that's kind of like where I stand with that. And he's been waiting around a while. So. And honestly, I think it's gonna rest on business because then if they get that title fight with Jacare in Brazil, that's a huge fight if you want to
That's
do a
true
big event
too.
in Brazil.
You're right.
And with Yoel, what are you gonna do? Like a big event in Cuba?
Nah, probably not gonna happen. Probably not gonna
So
happen.
the business, and Yoel's like not a marketable guy at all. He talks shit.
He looks good on a poster, but you're
Yeah, but
right.
then you're gonna have that like blemish. Yeah, he made a good point, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You have that like drug blemish. You have like that reputation of him just being a disloyal fighter, which is something that we've seen happening
Right.
again, like bizarre levels with Tim Kennedy or something, and then you get like the low key
Yeah.
levels like with Jacare. And honestly, I think that they just might go with the money, as they have in the past, or they can go with the money with Michael Bisping. To me, it would
Yeah.
yeah, and do that in London or do that, in Manchester or whatever. Like they could. go either way to me. But I think like Yoel, as far as like business decisions go, you know,
You're
on
right.
it, usually I'll go with a sports decision. But in this case, when it's such a tight race, I feel like money is going to be the defining factor in timing.
You're right. No, I think you're right. I think it is interesting because I was trying to think like, because Jacare and Bisping, depending on how you handle it, I mean, Bisping's the more popular fighter worldwide.
Yeah.
No doubt about
But in
it.
Brazil, Jacare's. You
But
saw
yeah,
that.
in Brazil, you know, they've got to get a main event. You know, you figure this fight's going to happen in a couple of weeks, so it'll be
Yeah.
June.
And if it's
If,
Luke,
yeah,
it's a
if they Luke, they've got the
rematch.
history there. That was a
Yeah.
great fight the first time around. Yeah, main event in Brazil wouldn't be such a bad thing.
So,
That'll be
you know.
good. I think you're right. I think honestly, it's so weird, but I really do feel like Jacare is the number one contender, even though Yoel technically owns, a win over him 6 months ago. You know, it just,
Yeah.
I don't think the win was convincing enough. And then you add in everything else. I
Yeah.
think Jacare is the number one contender. So I think the only way you go with Bisping is if, yeah, maybe you're taking it. I mean, Bisping's a big star in the United States too, but especially if you're going to go to like somewhere in the UK.
And you know he's gonna promote the shit out of that fight.
Oh yeah.
So it's kind of
Bisping's
like,
great, man. You put a fight together and
yeah.
you're like, that's a stupid fight. And then by the time it's fight time, you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this
It's
fight because Bisping is
gold, and
talking
he's
shit.
smart about it too. Like you remember him against Vitor?
Right.
That one in São Paulo. Whoa, he owned that
There is
promotion.
no Jesus, I
There is
believe.
no Jesus.
Oh,
He was
God.
amazing.
Michael Bisping. All right, the third fight on the card. We finally got to see Christiane Cyborg Justino make her UFC debut. A moment that was, I mean, even though we knew we were building up to it all week, we said it was a big event. When she started coming in, it was just kind of one of those deals like, holy shit, like this is actually happening, you
Yeah.
know? And it was funny because we knew this was a big moment for her, an emotional moment for her. This is her hometown and to
Yeah.
finally be in the UFC. And then again, it's 45,000 people and it's, you know, it's just amazing. But it was, I mean, she was about to cry as she was getting in the cage. Like you could tell she was fighting it back. And it's just, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last night. I mean, I think it's cool. Like, I'll never forget Kat Zingano. And it sucked because I think American television was in commercial break at the time. But the first time she got in the
Yeah,
octagon,
I
she
don't
walked
remember seeing
around
it.
and she put her hand on top of the cage.
Yeah.
And she walked around the entire cage with, like, tears, like, rolling down her eyes.
Oh,
I'm
that's
like,
so
oh my
beautiful.
God,
Yeah.
that's like the beauty of sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody's that emotional. But it's funny because Cyborg, all the press activities, all the pre-fight interviews, it's like, oh, thank you, Leslie. Like, the fact that you took this fight means
Yeah.
so much to me. And then they go to the stare downs to the weigh-ins, and it's like, you know, she
She
won't.
was miserable, though.
She was miserable. But it was
That's
just
like the
funny.
lowest point of like humor. I don't, honestly don't understand how people don't fight more during weigh-ins.
Right?
You have these like moody, dehydrated people. Like I used to be backstage for those. You
Right.
remember that? I would never address a fighter. Like the fighter could be my boy. If he didn't address me, I'll just pretend he wasn't there. Wait for him to weigh in, then we'll have a conversation.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you used to be backstage. That is the most miserable of miserable.
I honestly like it drained me. I felt bad. Like at some point I started feeling bad because I was just like, that's when I started becoming like I'm more of an advocate for like moving up with divisions rather than going down. And I think it's just kind of like a sentimental thing.
You literally have to peer behind the curtains, you know what I mean? You're
Yeah.
literally looking behind the curtains, and it's rough back there. And you got guys and gals that are dehydrated and pasty mouth, can't talk, look like they're about to pass out, not making any damn sense when they try to talk to you.
Some feel better than others, and some like have easier cuts. But dude, I will never forget seeing Massimo Blanco. Remember
Sure.
when he fought here? He didn't make weight because he had like this nightmare flight from Japan or something, and he got here 2 days after he was supposed to,
Remember that.
and he had to lose those extra pounds. And it's sad, but it's funny because it was just kind of like it was him walking around. A bunch of Japanese dudes like following him around and just kind of like saying things in Japanese that we did not understand. And just like he had towel over towel over towel and he would just collapse. And he would collapse and then the Japanese dudes would like jump on top of him. I did not understand what was going on. But it was just kind of like this guy was at the lowest of the lows there. And you see that type of shit and you're just like, you fully understand. So getting back to Cyborg, when people go, and I said that on Twitter, oh, she made 139. She can make what? You have no idea what those fucking 4 pounds are, or
Wow.
three, but
Yeah,
three if it's not a title
before we
fight.
talk about
But
the fight, let's just start there. I feel like pretty much, I remember all this kind of looked around in the media section
yeah,
at the weigh-ins.
yeah.
I feel like everybody in the media kind of said, this is proof that she doesn't need, because she looked awful.
She looked.
Awful.
skinniest, like the case to be made for her actually being able to move down would have to be like working on losing some lean mass and muscle power. But she relies so much on that.
That's her game.
Yeah, and she before that, when we were talking about her weight, she said that it's not just about making it. Like she would have to see how she felt and performed. I'm thinking she felt really good, but after.
Probably not hating it.
But we're left with this question mark though, because we were just talking about that last night. We call her a UFC catchweight fighter now.
Right.
What is
What
she?
is she? Well, let's talk about the fight first.
Yeah.
Leslie Smith, God bless Leslie Smith. I know that we both like her as a person.
Yeah,
Her
she's
personality is awesome.
Smart, like, yeah.
But I think we all knew, like, listen, man, she just had the tools to get this done. Like,
Yeah.
and that's nothing wrong. That's like, it's like saying, dude, you're just not good enough to beat Jon Jones.
Yeah.
You don't suck. You're
She's
just not
just not
good
good
enough
enough
to
to be
beat
Jon
Jon
Jones.
Jones, you know?
And the matchup too, like, because we knew that she was gonna like slug it out and whatever, and like
Right.
you dude.
Do something else. You gotta
Yeah.
act like you don't wanna slug it out with
Like
Cyborg.
with Ronda, we're curious.
Yeah, because it's a stylistic matchup.
Yeah.
So Leslie went in there. I think it was very apparent from the start. There was a speed difference. There was a power difference. We talked about it
A
last night.
size difference.
Size difference
Leslie's skinny, like she has like skinny
scary.
legs, and
Scary
she's more
size
of a
difference.
leaner person, and Cyborg is like a bulky person.
And she had the same reaction that everybody does when they get hit by Cyborg. Like, you can literally go back and watch any Cyborg fight. You can literally see the moment on the opponent's face when they get caught flush for the first time, where
Yeah,
they're like,
terror.
oh no, this is not good. And Leslie had that briefly, and then she was like, but I'm Leslie Smith. I don't give a damn. I'm going to do this. Got hit, got dropped. The ending was a little weird. And I'm not hating on the ending because I don't think anything was going to change. I don't
Yeah.
think Leslie was like, oh, like she was just about to get up and kick her ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all we did was save Leslie from taking more damage. She was furious, irate. But I did. If I'm just breaking it down, I have to say, I think that the ending was bizarre. I think the referee just picked a weird time to stop it. And being the feminist that you are, I did have a couple of female fans, especially, hit me up on Twitter and say, you know, why can't she get a chance to come back? I mean, that's, you
Yeah.
know, look at, you know, Neil Magny recently. Somebody pointed out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of a good point. You know, do you think the fact that they're women had anything to do with that stoppage?
Honestly, I had never stopped to think about that like for 1 second. So kind of like now that you said it, it could be, I don't know. Like it goes from ref to ref.
Yeah, right.
That's at the end of the day, it goes from ref to ref. I have a
You think
problem.
Eduardo Hurdy's sexist, don't you? No, I'm just kidding.
I have a problem with referees, like Brazilian referees, as it stands. I do think like they have a long way to go. Like I don't believe in Brazilian judging and scoring. We have this conversation even in the last podcast. We disagree a little bit on that one because you think like, you know, something plays a role. I don't think so. But at the same time, I do feel like the referee has a long way to go. I feel like we make like stupid mistakes are made, like
Right.
Moicano in the first fight, and then you know. But as far as the stoppage goes, and again, it's like honestly, I feel like it's a personal thing that when you some people would rather have like a later stoppage because you know they feel like the fighter needs a chance to come back, whatever. I am more on the early stoppage side because I know that you're never gonna get perfectly timed stoppages,
Right.
not never, but like not every time. And I would just rather have them like be spared of the jet damage. I was actually talking on Twitter to Julie Katzi about that, because she said like she feels like she's a bit biased because she knew that she could take more damage, so she would ask that she would want to have that chance. So
Right.
she totally gets Leslie. And what I told her was just like kind of like I'm on the other side. I'm not a fighter. I want them to be safe and okay and fine. So I'm always gonna be like more on the early
Yeah.
stoppage side. Having said that, I have to rewatch the fight and just see like how blatant that was before I can make an opinion.
It was just a weird position, I guess, more than anything. I mean, like I said, I didn't think anything was changing. It was just, it wasn't like the
Yeah.
punches were landing especially clean. It
I
was
get it.
weird,
No, I
but
totally get what you're saying. And like I said, I do feel like I don't want to talk shit. It's not. It's just like it's new.
Right.
They've just. these are not guys who have been ref. We get mistakes from very experienced refs. So you get people who are kind of like starting out and figuring it out. So I think there's a learning curve there that we're going to have to respect. Yep. I mean, the first bizarre thing I ever saw was Drew Dober, and was in Brazil with a Brazilian ref.
Right.
And the commission did right by it.
They did. They did, but the right thing, making, you know, the call and overturning it. All right, so you touched on it. What do we do now with Cyborg? She said, I told you earlier in the week, I would do 140 for Ronda.
Yeah, and
I would do 140 for
fight.
Whoever the bantamweight champion is at the time. Other than that,
145. Probably 145, yeah.
And I think that makes sense. After seeing her on the scale, I think that's about as far as we need to go. She said she'll probably go back and defend her Invicta featherweight title.
Yeah, which makes sense. She wants to stay active. She's been staying active, actually.
So I guess I just wonder what and there's really nothing. I mean, it's kind of hard for us to be like, you know, here's what should come next, because that would mean essentially instituting a new weight class.
Yeah.
Or just saying I'm cool with fights that don't have anything to do with a weight class.
Yeah.
And so it's bizarre because, I think she should go defend her Invicta featherweight title and you know, wait for things and see how things shake out. I would definitely, as you said earlier, you talk about the Ronda Rousey fight. I still kind of want to see it. I mean, it may not
really
mean what
it
used to mean, but it still means something.
Yeah, I really want to see it, honestly. I would like to watch her fight Holly, too.
I would like her to. Dude, when I heard that Holly turned down this fight, and I get it. And here's
At
what
this
I was
point,
told.
She doesn't want, like, a...
Well, here's what I was told. Not that Holly turned down the fight. That Holly's management turned down the fight, and maybe it's possible never even went to her with the offer.
Oh.
Possible.
That would
I don't
change
know.
Things, yeah.
But I get it. Like, if you're trying to get a 135 title fight, fighting Cyborg in a different weight class, I mean, that's not the person I want to fight. You know, so I get it. But I would like to see that fight. So both those fights do interest me. I'd like to see them happen.
But are they going to be willing to? I think Hollywood.
I think Hollywood.
After
she's
a second fight,
she
would probably do that. Ronda, maybe for the right amount of money.
True.
Because if they want to do, like, a big thing here, or, you know, even there, like, every whatever, like, when Ronda comes back, it's going to be huge. So I feel like if they just offered the right amount of money, maybe she'll, like, find it in her heart to forgive those extra four. But at the same time, honestly, wouldn't you be scared fighting Cyborg?
Yeah.
I would be scared.
Yeah,
like, definitely. It's so much power. It's like the difference between, like, being healthy and being unhealthy. And having had, like, a kick rearrange her face...
That's especially losing the weight she lost. Let's say Misha Tate had somehow, you know, beat Ronda the way she beat Holly, where wasn't really winning the fight, but then found the submission. Then you go, well, we'll have the Cyborg fight for you. Okay, yeah, well, let's take that fight. But that, losing the way she lost to Holly, I can't.
It probably hurts. He probably traumatized her.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been punched in the face. I've been doing Muay Thai for like 6-7 years now. I only do light sparring. But when I actually got hit, it sucks, guys. It sucks. It hurts. I got kicked. Like, I had my legs were black for 2 weeks after I did the sparring session with a girl who had good kicks. All over. I couldn't wear shorts. And when I did, people were like, what the fuck happened to you?
Like, so, honey, come with us. Let's get you some help.
It's something that, you know, when you're doing with the small gloves, with professionals, it can be scarring. And sometimes I feel like I'm always, like, going back to the emotional side of everything because I'm an emotional person. So it kind
of,
like, but
emotions
these are
part
people.
Of this game,
they're people. Ronda's a person. She went through a deeply traumatizing experience that was made all that more traumatizing by the fact that she was raised into this, like, winner sort of, like, crazy mentality.
Right.
So a loss for her and getting injured and having to go through all of that and heal, like, physically and emotionally. So you go and take a Cyborg fight with the possibility of, like, getting your ass handed to you.
Nah, I'm good.
When you're, like, making movies and stuff, like, when your face is actually part of what you're working with and as far as, like, long-term career plans go, I don't know, like, if, like I said, maybe for the right amount of money.
If for some reason she wanted to do it, though, they could sell out that arena.
Oh.
Like, by itself.
Dude.
Right?
No, I don't even, like, no question about it.
I think so, too. It would be a big, big money fight. Yeah. All right. Earlier in the night, Shogun defeated Corey Anderson. Your homer pick, again, of Shogun, who it came
through. Well, a point is a point, and I'll take it.
Let's say it was a very, very – it was a very close fight. You know, it basically comes down to how you saw round two. Round one and round three were both very clear. Round two, you know, there was – Corey Anderson's winning the fight, but he got caught at the end of it. So it all came down to that. So I had no problem either way. But I really just only wanted to ask you, what you saw in Shogun that made you go with that pick. And we joked, obviously, that it was a homer pick, but I know you. You're more analytical than that. You don't make emotional decisions like that. But the thing to me was it just boiled down to, A, I thought Corey was going to wrestle more, and he did turn to it at some point. But, B, I know Shogun's only like 34 years old. It seems like he's like 50 because he's been fighting for so long. But, I mean, what was it that you saw or at least felt or thought? I mean, was it just being back here that you thought was going to be more motivating, or was there something you saw in his workout? Or, I mean, what was it that you thought that Shogun is going to beat Corey Anderson?
I like Shogun training with Rafael, you know?
It's true.
They're a good match. They go well together. He went to the U.S. He was there for a while. He trained there. So it's kind of like, I like it. And I've seen like Shogun go from like different managers, different teams, different. And I feel like he's in a good place with that right now. He's surrounded by the right people, people who care for him and people who are smart about him. So, you know, that like the outside in octagon factor, he's more experienced.
Yeah.
Corey's a child. He's my age. He's 26 or something, but he's so young.
Sure.
He's just starting out, and I feel like he's on this roll, and he's doing like back-to-back fights, and he wants to keep fighting. What he fought like 2 months ago, whatever. To me, it was like too quick of a turnaround. I thought like he might be just overextending himself a little bit because he's feeling like obviously he's physically okay now, and he's on probably his prime when it comes to that. So it's probably like, I'm invincible. I can do whatever.
Yeah.
I thought, honestly, at the end of the day, he's going to underestimate Shogun.
You're probably right, because it's funny. I mean, as you're explaining your reasoning, I'm kind of watching the fight replay in my head. And I think I really just thought Corey was going to be the bigger, more athletic man and was going to be able to handle things. But Shogun fought very smart. He fought like an experienced fighter.
Yeah.
He fought like he was fighting something he had seen before. You know, it's nothing that I haven't been around before. And, as the fight played out, it's hindsight being 20/20, as it were. Your logic still sounds pretty solid. I know the first fight of the main card, Warley Alves. You're a big fan of him just because you saw him kind of come up through the Ultimate Fighter when you were still around there. It lost a tough fight to Brian Barberina. Warley, to me, still looks like a top prospect. I know it sucks because he was the undefeated guy. And he looked like maybe he was one of that next generation of Brazilian stars. But to me, I will say this. I still don't think his reputation took a major hit. I think his athleticism, his aggression, his technique was incredible to start. It's just that Brian Barberina had a little bit better gas tank, outlasted him. And I think this is one of those ones that Worley could probably learn from. And hopefully this is one where he goes, dude, I've got some changes to make, because the technique, the aggression, it's fun, it's entertaining, like it's scary, but you can't be done in 4 minutes either.
We've seen like fighters benefit from losses, so I totally agree with you on that. And I don't know, like obviously, like you end up getting like sort of emotionally attached to some guys more than others just because you're around them. And Warley, like recorded things with him, like taped things with him, wrote stories on him. And I always thought he was just like an exciting guy to watch. But at the same time, it's kind of like I do feel like he could benefit from having that experience of losing the way that he did, which was not like a horrible loss. He wasn't humiliated. It was just like kind of something that I feel like he's going to be able to really benefit from in the future. And Brian Barberina, man,
prospect killer. The new nickname.
Oh my God.
With.
Dude, don't go in there and defeat it against that guy, because he will hand your ass to you. Because honestly, we were just joking in the media room that it's like, oh yeah, you beat Sage, you get Warley in Brazil. And that's going to be like, you get Redoom, dude. We're not even giving you welter. Like, we're just throwing a heavyweight to you. Let's see you handle that, Brian Barberina. And I feel like his style of fighting, to me, like, I compared it to, like, that student who was just not that applied at all, but, like, got better grades than everyone. Like, he didn't give a fuck. He was just, like, sitting behind in class, throwing, like, paper balls, not giving a fuck. And then he went and did well, and the nerds were, like, pissed.
That's hilarious.
To me, that's his fighting style.
Yep.
He has no fucks. He's, like, he just goes in there and does his thing. He doesn't care. And Honestly, that ends up helping a lot of people. You know, when you overthink a test and you do poorly, and somebody who doesn't care, or a job interview, and to me, that's like Brian Barberina fighting. He's always like, "They're not invested, and like I can lose nothing. Like I'm not the undefeated prospect that everybody's like looking
I
at."
just don't care. Just going in there.
Yeah, it was funny. Like it was bittersweet. Obviously, I would like to see Worley win, but I think he's gonna grow from it. I don't think, like you said, it takes away from like his prospect status. I think he's gonna be put on hold for a while, and we'll see what goes after that. But dude, Barbarina, like, power
Give the man a
to
title shot. Don't put him
you,
up against a prospect. They'll lose.
man.
He's going to ruin everything for you. Well, our man Cole Coffey has finally arisen from his slumber and made
Yeah.
his way over here. So I'm going to reset on a round of Frosty Beverages, reset up everything here, and bring in Cole Coffey so we can hear what Ohio's own Cole Coffey thinks about the new
Far
USC head.
no, far be it from me to like steal your thing here, but I just wanted to like make one remark about Lil Nog, because that was like a really
Well, I'm gonna
cool
keep you
thing that
around.
we
I'm not making you
witnessed.
go away.
Oh, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were kicking me out.
Nope.
Oh, so it's
Just, I had like the perfect outro going.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow Bonus Edition 59 and a half. Cole Coffey has finally woke his ass up after a long night.
Oh, I partied last night.
And that's so sad because we really didn't
I
party at all.
Yeah,
Didn't
right.
party.
We just worked and then I went to bed.
Just such a long night. You know, we were just starting to get to the prelims, but before we do that, I did want to get your thoughts on Stipe Miocic. Obviously, you picked him going in. We joked that it was a homer pick for you, and it was, of course, a homer pick for you. But no, what was it? I mean, first of all, that you saw. I mean, was it kind of that you were just siding with your boy and you were playing a hunch? Or, I mean, was there something that you went in and you're like, dude, I just know he's got it this week?
It was just purely power. I think even when we joked about it a little bit the other day when I was saying, like, he's going to knock him the fuck out, I think he has a way. And I knew, one, he's a Golden Glove boxer or whatever. He's got massive boxing skills. I just thought that would be the difference. I don't think anybody's really been able to put it on Verdum like that. And I thought also, too, Verdum was just a little bit distracted. I think this whole week, all the little faces and all the little other stuff, he's been so caught up, and we've seen that happen before.
You're not a fan of the happy face.
No, I think it's fucking hilarious. Like, I think it's just goofy as fuck,
right?
But he's just, every time that he's got in front of the camera or did anything, he's been goofy face, goofy face.
You're just right.
You
it
know,
was
so
every time.
Every time. So it's like, you know, then immediately in his head, he's already, I have to please the crowd. I'm here to please the crowd. It's not like, here I am, here's my opponent, I'm getting ready to get in his face. You know, granted, when he got off the scale, say, just to use the weigh-in in for a reference, you know, he dropped the face, he got over, he got into business. And I know these guys can do that. They can, you know, carry a crowd, they can work a scene, and then go in there and get angry and motivated and fight these guys. But I don't know, just, you know, thinking about this and thinking about the pressure, I was thinking the pressure and all this stuff of trying to carry this whole huge crowd and this huge card that's going to weigh on his shoulders. And the fact that Stipe, he was so focused this whole week. There was nothing, anything that ever showed that he was nervous, that he was in dangerous territory. And I think Stipe is just one dangerous motherfucker. I think he's got some serious hands. And I think this was the perfect fight for him. Now, I love Stipe. And to say on the opposite side, do I think Stipe is going to be this long reigning champion? Probably not, because the division hasn't proven itself to be that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But because I think when other guys are able to get Stipe down and able to use their skills, then that's something. For Doom, he didn't try to get him down.
Yeah, I think
he
Kane
tried to
would
stay and
smoke
stand.
Him.
Yeah,
there's other
yeah.
guys that are going to beat Stipe, but for this fight, it just seemed to me that he had Verdum's number because of the striking.
It's funny because Fernanda and I talked about it a little bit going in, and she said, kind of knowing that that's what people say, the distractions, and you were like, I don't really think he was. That's him. But you know what I did think about, and you mentioned Cole Coffey, like this huge event and him feeling responsible for it and him being, you know, the pressure on him. I hadn't thought about it until that exact moment. Did Anderson Silva not being on this card, did that add anything to Fabricio Verdum? I mean, I guess not really in terms of media responsibilities because it was so late in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess it didn't really – it probably didn't change his schedule that much or change the mental. But it did kind of come into my head, you know, that it was that possible. But
I think I could definitely see it that way. I mean, I definitely think he felt that as the main event always is going to be on his shoulders. But I think, if anything, they were so happy about this card. I think they were proud as Brazilians to say that this is the best card that's ever going to be in Brazil. And I think once they lost Anderson, I think, if anything, they just thought that, oh, it's not quite as good, but it's still a rock-solid one. But you're right. Anytime Anderson shows up, it's the Anderson show. I mean, the fact that you're at a show that, you know, I love Vitor Belfort. I know a lot of people, maybe not everybody in this room, agrees with that. But
I just feel like
that,
I defended Vitor Belfort for 40 all right, minutes.
Well, I wasn't meaning you. Maybe I was meaning this other guy. You know, he did have a death threat on his head at one point.
True story, bro.
But, you know, the fact that to have a place where, you know, Vitor's booed in his own country. I mean, there were so many people on this card that people loved. That, you know, that's what was kind of unique about this card. We could probably have subtracted another person off of this card, and it still would have been absolutely amazing. But anytime Anderson is not there, it is a huge, huge vacuum. And maybe he did feel that now that Anderson's not there, that he was like, I have to be the star. I have to carry this. But, you know, that sucks, because that's the last thing you want to do if you know you're going to go in there with a giant man that's ready to knock your fucking head off. But, you know, it could have. I just felt, to me, and maybe I'm completely wrong. I mean, he's, you know what we've always said and about Fabrício, which is awesome, is because he can carry the fighting, but he also now has grown so much as a personality that it's hard, I think, to balance that as well, because he wants to please and be the funny guy and he wants to do this other stuff, but he also wants to be this athlete as well. And it's tough to not stay focused like you maybe need to do on a big important event like this, when you know you want to also give as much as you can to be the important personality. You know, it's a tough battle, and maybe, if anything, in this one, you might see him maybe pull back some of the stuff that he does the next time.
It's a fair point.
Because, I mean,
the Conor McGregor argument, right?
You know, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know he's doing the training. You know his training's there. You know, if anything else, I think the only other thing that maybe stepped away in this was maybe the focus towards the end. And even he said that, you know, that he got a little reckless. He went too much for it. He still thinks he's the better fighter, but he got out of himself. And I think that was part of this event, drew him out of his shell, drew him out of what made him the champ.
Let's go from one Ohio versus Brazil matchup to another as we get into the preliminary cards. Matt Brown, Demian Maia. Definitely a homer pick there with Matt Brown. There was no way he was going to win
like
that fight.
The matchup was just horrible, man.
Yeah.
That was like nothing he could have done there. Like, obviously, again, we can just use like he could knock him out argument. But like the matchup was just awful. I don't even know how he took it.
Well, Demian is so just suffocating right now. He's on point. He's
like
gone back to his jiu-jitsu.
Like,
he is.
He's gone
back to his jiu-jitsu, which I think is awesome. There was that period in his career where I think he felt like, I've got to be a complete mixed martial artist. And of course, it's not like, I'm never going to work on my striking. Of course, you're going to try.
Yeah.
But when you are absolutely gifted at one thing, I think you have to stay with it. And I think that's been what Demian's done to make him successful. And I know you think that he needs to be in real discussions for a title shot.
Well, obviously. I mean, he wins fights, and I just – it's funny, like, Kenny was making fun of me because I'm, like, a Damian fangirl. Yeah. Matt Honestly, Damian. It's just kind of like I feel like he's treated unfairly. So I just kind of, like, try to defend him just because I feel like people appreciate raw talent so much when it comes to other areas. Like, you see a very talented striker and people are, like, going crazy over him. And you see – but, like – because, like, grappling is something that's not as easy to comprehend if you're not, like, that into it or not that well-informed. People just don't appreciate it as much. And I feel like he's one of those guys that we can actually count on our fingers in the UFC who are actually extraordinarily gifted athletes in a certain area. Having said that, I feel like – and this is not me. This is, like, all of Twitter when – Gunnar Nelson put that performance last week, and then we think back on what Damian did to Gunnar Nelson. To me, that just comes to show, like, this is a guy who knows how to win fights and who's, and like you said, like, he abandoned that kind of, like, I have to, like, strike attitude and went back to his roots, which was the smart thing to do.
Basically, I'm going
to
throw punches just so that it helps me get close to you.
But honestly, like, when you're a guy who comes from jiu-jitsu and you're just joining the UFC, there's, like, this huge pressure because it's all about finding the balance between winning the fights and making the fans happy. And jiu-jitsu doesn't really make fans happy that much unless you're submitting.
Right.
Which he was when he first started, because he got like 5 submissions in a row. It was something like amazing like that. Yeah. But, you know, unless you're actually submitting people, you're not that appreciated and you're called boring. And Damien has had his fair share of like flack for like not being exciting for fans.
I thought he had some fun moments though, man. Just the way he gets to the back is incredible.
That's the thing though. Like with Gunner, we saw that. With Gunner, it was fun. Like he smoked Gunner. And last night, again, like I think he's navigating that balance now more than ever.
I think it was like the second round where there was just one moment that just blew me away, where basically like he ended up during this transition, like almost when we were talking about last night, like he ended up basically pulling Matt Brown into mount. And I was like, oh, God, he screwed up there. But, like, before his back was even settled on the ground, he was sweeping already and rolled over the top. I'm like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? It was just
That's
beautiful.
High-level shit.
That's high-level stuff. To me, it's fun to watch, but I think you're right. For a lot of people, it's not. Kofi, I want to ask you, Damien was asked about it.
It's not fun to watch.
Damien was asked about it at the press conference, because Matt Brown became a big part of this card this week, you know, when he decided I'm gonna go out and just flip everybody off at the weigh-ins, and you know, turn his back at the scale.
No chill for Matt Brown.
None. And Damien got asked about it at the press conference, and his answer was basically, "Listen, it might not be what you expect me to say, but it didn't bother me. Like, I just think Matt's a guy that has to be like hated or whatever, like, or in a hate mode. You know, he needs that kind of stuff.
He needs something to energize.
He needs
him
some emotion.
Bit.
But it was funny because I can tell you the rest of Brazil did not feel that way, because they were flipping Matt off. Yeah. They were yelling at him.
And
even
then
as
what
he was
happened
leaving,
I
didn't
he
see
was
that.
Walking out.
Did he get? Was that on the walkout? He got grabbed. I didn't see it happen.
It was the walkout. I didn't see it, but was
it
like
was multiple times?
Yeah.
I heard when he first came out, somebody had like tapped him on the back of the head, and then there was another point, another person did it, and I think by the time it got to the third person or whatever, from what I hear, you see somebody grab him and Matt just turned and literally just threw a punch. I hope he made contact.
I didn't see it.
Because that's what that fucking fan deserved.
I think it landed. I read. I
hope
have
so.
To
I hope
I read
it did.
That it
and I
well,
hope
on the way
out,
man. They had like 8 people around them, like a human shield, like they were moving a president.
Yeah, they removed the dude from the arena.
They don't recognize. I mean, people don't realize how adamant that the Brazilian fans get. They actually get so fucking caught up in this whole thing. Like, how dare you do this to my country? But yeah, last night I was ready to firebomb half the fucking stadium after it happened.
I was gonna ask you if you had any regret that Matt handled himself that way. Do you feel like Matt should have?
No, because I think Matt. I mean, that's the thing in common sports. You should be able to talk shit. Brazilians talk shit. Irish people talk shit. And do people fucking reach out and actually physically try to harm the fighter?
Yeah.
No, we're civilized people. Yeah. But obviously the Brazilians aren't.
Yeah, wow. Like 3 Brazilians do that, but let's just say it's the fucking entire
country.
It's
the whole fucking country.
That's how we do. It's America.
Such an American thing to do.
That's right. I ordered a cruise missile to hit that area.
let's get the Brazilian perspective, because I'll be honest, when I was watching it, I mean, I thought it was wild to see like how passionate they were, but at the same time, like, this dude had literally stood there and flipped everybody off.
Dude, it's drunken MMA fans. We've seen them do dumb shit forever.
Right.
Just Bleed guy is there to show them the average.
Just respect. They're just showing their fandom.
Like, no, honestly, like, I can't defend that. It's a shitty thing. And obviously, like, when you're walking out, it's like the most, like, focused moment. You're very vulnerable, especially in the position that Matt was in.
Maybe so that caused him to lose.
Maybe
people should
have. That was just it.
It wasn't the way that Damien humped his back. It was it was the hits on the head.
It wasn't the matchup from hell.
To Damien, because like you said, because I was going to laugh about this, because I was totally, and granted, I was very, very biased and very, very into wanting my Columbus boy to win. But yeah, when Damon started doing what he did, I was like, fuck's sake, I hate his style, because he just fucking does that and he wins.
Yeah.
I was so pissed because, you know, I equate it to the fact of like what the women had to do when it was Rana. Rana would get in there and get the fucking armbar. If you can't defend the armbar, boom, you're done. Same thing, now you're reaching a point. If you can't defend against this guy's jiu-jitsu, you're done. You know, is he going to knock you out? Not at this point anymore. He's gone back to a point where he's going to fucking ride you out and choke you out. You're done. If you can't get past that. And it got to a point where I looked and I'm watching this fight and I'm like, Matt has no answer for this. I thought he trained for it. I think, you know, when Damon got on his back, he was doing the things he needed to do, like try to position himself up against the cage to kind of divert some of the weight that was going on. I thought it was great. Damon hook his foot behind Matt's knee to cause extra pressure. He was doing everything that a fucking super high level dude would do to get you on the ground to finish the fight. And I thought Matt tried and he tried and tried and do it, but he just did not have an answer to finally turn it around to where he could really stretch. I think there was one moment where he started laying some hands on him, and I was like, okay, good. This is what this is what Matt has been waiting to do. Yeah. But Damian's a tough guy. He could take those hits and he can weather through it. And if he gets back a hold of you, there you go. So to speak on you know, Damian's style, I hope he keeps going like this. He's probably going to get more flack from people saying it's maybe not the most exciting style, but at this point, it's not about that. It's about winning the fucking thing, win the belt, and let the opponents have to bring themselves up to a level that they can defend against it. Nobody's telling Ronda. Well, they did even. Remember, everybody's like, Ronda, why don't you start knocking people out?
Yeah. Right.
Why don't you do something else? You're a one-trick pony. Who cares if you got the belt and you're looking down? You're like, hey, look at my parlor trick. I keep winning belts, motherfucker.
Best trick in the world. You know? I'll tell you what, and we'll have our Brazilian correspondent follow up. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Damian right now needs to wait 2 months. I think he needs to just chill for a little bit because right now we know that UFC 201, that's July 30th. That's Tyron Woodley challenging for the belt, Robbie Lawler. So we already know that title fight set. We also know that June 18th in Canada is Rory McDonald versus Stephen Thompson. Now, you got to think the winner of Rory McDonald versus Stephen Thompson, especially
he's
if gotta it is Stephen Thompson.
He's got to pray for Stephen to win.
Yeah, it's – we got to see what caps. So I think he's got to wait for Rory to win. Yeah, because if Rory wins, you're not going to do the Robbie Lawler again unless it's – something special, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But Steven wins, you got to think Wonder Boy's definitely getting the shot. But I think probably what you do is you wait 2 months and you let those two fights play out, and then you pick your strategy from there.
Yeah.
Because at least, at worst, he needs to be in a number one contender fight.
Yeah exactly. That's exactly it. Like, and people would I heard that in the media room, and I totally agree. Like, we just wish that Damian had reached this peak 4 years ago because it's sort of rushing now. And you see that. Like, he's no spring chicken.
Right.
Like, he doesn't have that much time to go on that title, to do the whole thing again. And obviously, like, he's been working towards getting that title fight. But he's not a young guy anymore. He's not old either. But it's like kind of like, you know, he's
got time to just sit around and be like, well, when it comes, it comes.
Exactly. So it's a shame because, like, now he just has to rush and, like, try to get everything in. And, you know, what are you going to do? You just had, like, he has to sit back and wait. He, like, sort of has to pray for Rory to win that fight.
Yeah.
So, because obviously that would be a hard, if Stephen Thompson wins, I'm just going to guess, like, they're going to give it to him.
Unless it's just, like, some awful split decision.
Yeah.
Terrible fight.
But with
something.
Him, I think it's highly unlikely that that happens.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
that matchup.
In case he just goes in there and just wrestles for five rounds.
But yeah, so it's kind of like, and going back to the fight a little bit, we had actually talked about this before, and that was it. Like, I don't think any of us actually saw what Matt could really offer to get away from that game, because honestly, he's more like a straightforward striker. Like, to his advantage, what he could do and what he did was, even when they're a close range or he's in a scramble, he'll still throw punches and everything. So that was kind of like the way that he could take that fight. But he's not like a very, his movement is not unpredictable.
Never
he's
even
not
got
elusive.
A scramble, man. It was just.
It was a waste of Matt Brown. Let's
True.
Face
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right. That's
that matchup was.
When you see if you want to see all that Matt can offer, and we didn't get a chance. Yeah, it feels like fuck. Can we redo? Can we throw him back on something?
Joe Silva, what are you doing? Yeah.
You dumbass? No, I mean,
can't put him on 200 because Fabricio is going to be on that Fabricio Stipe rematch on 200.
The rematch no one asked for. Only redo. No, obviously. The Brazilian people would like that rematch, but we were talking about this before. Like, maybe we don't think it, like, it's the right time.
No, fuck no.
Yeah.
Sit down, Cavallo. Easy. Go to pasture for a little bit.
But it was and also going back on the weigh-in thing with Matt, just like kind of like to touch back on it from a Brazilian perspective. He did what he had to do. Like, what is he going to do? Win the crowd over?
Yeah, right.
And with like Damian.
Come out
like,
with his Brazilian flag.
And Damian's like a freaking teddy bear. He's the nicest guy ever. So you're not going to like make people out like you as a person against Damian Maia. He did his thing. I thought he was like cool as fuck. It was funny. It was interesting. He gave every one of us something to talk about.
You know, and he, like, sold a fight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't obviously condone what happened there. I think there's no excuse for physical violence or anything of that sort, especially in that type of situation. But kind of like, you know, I feel like he played the crowd the best way that he
could. Worked you over, Brazil. He worked you over. Didn't Connor flip off the crowd at the Q&A? When he was here?
He did.
Oh, Connor was so combative, but the crowd was so shitty too. Like, that was embarrassing.
Oh, no, it was. It was. But that was just thinking. But, you know, even then, you know, I just wonder, you know, I think Brazil people are easy to piss off. You know?
We are. Well, you've been around me.
You met her, right?
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
Point you proven. Saw me under stress. Like, the switch turns on. Like, you don't want to see me when I'm angry.
I know. I thought we were going to see a young Canadian die yesterday.
Another story for another time. We'll save that one. following from maybe a bad Brazil moment to a great Brazil moment, I did want to skip down the card a little bit.
I have a great Brazil moment. No, it wasn't me.
I thought you were going to talk about the steakhouses.
I think you're going to talk about like just me being
just
amazing.
Just you in general.
Yeah, we're going to go another amazing moment the day
the
Fernando
other
was born.
Amazing moment. Antonio Rogério Nogueira defeating Patrick Cummins. Yeah. Fernando, I did want to get your take on this. Number one, you got your start in this entire industry working with the Nogueira brothers, right? So, I mean, you know them very well. But this moment, I think, was and you said it in your interview that we'll be on MMA Junkie. It's not already. You said it, and I thought it was exactly the way I felt. We hadn't even talked about it. But it just so eerily reminded me of when Big Nod knocked out Brendan Schaub at UFC 134 in Rio. Like, I went into this fight thinking Little Nog has literally no chance of winning this fight. Like, I know that sounds bad because you look at his career record, it's phenomenal. You look at the fact that he is a world-class competitor, but they've just been around for so long. You see the way they, like, just walking through the hotel or whatever looks like a struggle. You know what I mean? And
he's much more like in one piece than Big Nog was.
That is true. That is true. Maybe some Big Nog, like, factors into my Little Nog, you know? But it was special. And, man, the way the crowd reacted, I mean, it is so awesome to see. I mean, those guys are so respected here.
Those are bronze medal boxing hands at the end of the day, and these things don't just go away, and that's what's interesting about the sport. Like, when you least expect it, like, people show up, and he showed up, and like you said, actually, I honestly think, like, he was my first interview ever when I was starting out as an intern, and I love, now that you mentioned it, like,
that's crazy.
Like,
I thought you were gonna say he was your first love. You're getting sentimental of that. People don't realize Fernanda is hard as granite, and I'm seeing emotion right now.
Oh, I was sentimental. Right, all like, yeah, you're gonna like re-listen to the beginning when you were woke from your slumber, and then I'm a bit emotional today because it's kind of like it's like I said, I did like 134. I've been around for over half a decade and I'm only 26. So it's a long time in my life. And, you know, when I got to see that stadium event yesterday and like just kind of, it's something that obviously it plays some sort of like, you know, emotional.
Sure.
Yeah. It turns like on an emotional switch in me, I guess. But, going back to Little Nog, I gave him no chance in hell. So, yeah, not emotional there. I was just kind of
like, dude, what are you writing him off for? No, I wrote him off.
But we write him off, and then he shows up. Like, was it like Rashad? Like, nobody thought he was going to do that, and he did. So
Rashad?
It was, and that's why when I asked him, like, about 134, because that was the immediate thought in my mind, because people went crazy the way that it happened. Like, if he had done just one like a weird like decision fight, whatever, but the way that he did what he did, and just when you count them out, so that's kind of like, whoa, what just happened? And he was so happy backstage. Like, it was sheer happiness. Like, you could just feel it, like, pouring through him. He gave we will see a portion of it in English because he speaks a little bit of English. He speaks good English, actually. It's fine. And then, but the Portuguese one, but we're going to get a story on that, too. But it was just, like, really good. Like, he's also a very smart guy. Both Nogueiras are very smart people. And he's been through so much with the injuries.
Right.
Again, it's little like Big Nog there. Like, he's gone, like, people, he became a meme. Like, oh, Big Nog, Lil Nog has a fight scheduled. Well, that's not going to happen. Or, like, whoever wants to fight, well, just wait for Lil Nog to be injured and he can just step in. Like, this is something that became sort of like a funny thing for us to say. So we were counting him out, not just because of what we were seeing inside the octagon, but just because he was getting injured so consistently that you wonder how long can this person keep this up. But he was like, I'm injury free for a while now. my camp was like amazing. Everything went perfect, and that's not like post fight speech. That's right. Pre-fight speech. Usually it's pre-fight. It's amazing. I'm great, and then post fight. Oh, I'm glad because I was fucked.
Terrible.
Like,
yeah.
It sucked. I'm all busted. Like my hands are done. My knee. Like he was just like, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like physically awesome. Like instead, I'm 39, but I feel like a kid. I'm good to go, man. I want to keep doing that. I want to keep getting fights, you know. So it's very, very interesting to watch, and it was a very cool thing to witness.
It was a special moment. It may not register necessarily with, like, American fans or whatever, you know, that just see, oh, it was an upset victory. But I think that was one of those moments that we'll always remember. I mean, I remember, and I've told it before, but it's the truth. Big Nog, when you beat Schaub, I mean, first of all, the UFC was, you know, coming to Brazil for the first time. It was this massive thing or whatever. But, I mean, I turned around and people in the stands were crying.
They were pissed, remember, with the media because we all got up, like,
oh, yeah, the
media. And celebrated.
Oh, yeah.
And the American PRs were going fucking bananas.
Like,
oh, no, what media can't do that? It's Big Dog.
I did that in the whole press room all day yesterday. Yeah. Motherfuckers are clapping. I'm like, settle down. Act like you're a professional.
And then if your boy Matt Brown had won, though, I betcha it would have been a whole
Stipe
different
won, all I did was I did, yes.
But you
raise
did it.
The arm up. No, I did.
See?
And just like that. But that's it.
But it's celebration.
I didn't clap and yell and say, sorry, your damn Brazilian lost.
As far as American celebrations go, that's very enthusiastic.
That's huge right there.
Yeah.
I guess we say, mentioning Big Nog, he was inducted in the USC Hall, or not inducted, but announced that he will be inducted in the USC Hall
nice
this
touch.
Summer.
That
was a nice touch. And from what I was told, they didn't tell him. He didn't know. It wasn't like he didn't know. Yeah,
I think he probably just stood because they put the camera on him. He's like, hey.
I told him afterwards, like, oh.
So did they make was the announcement in Portuguese in the arena?
Yeah, it was. It was in Portuguese, but they showed a graphic and they showed like a highlight package and all.
Dude,
stuff.
Dude, I missed all of that.
Yeah,
that's how you know you're busy. Like I didn't see all of that, and I was reading Twitter. I'm like, how did I? When did I? Don't even.
And it did make me sad. I was sad for her because I know she wanted to be out there in the arena. I know she was back in the back grinding. She did mention at one point, she's like, I can't believe I'm not out there. This is in my country. This means a lot. And I was sad for her. And I was like, hey, welcome to my life back here.
No, I mean, obviously, like, I totally – and honestly, I've been backstage for every fight forever. Like, all my assignments – and all my UFC related jobs have been backstage.
PR and backstage.
Yeah, sure. I did like quotes and then broadcasts. And like as a broadcaster, my role was just kind of like watching the as a producer in the broadcast. I was just kind of like watching and just kind of like usually the reporters are not specialized in MMA. So just kind of like give them the rundown and stuff like that. So I've always been backstage. It's not like, but I always managed to sneak out for the main event. And I just had to do that. Like it was the main thing that I had to
it
like.
It was a special atmosphere. You had to do that. I'm glad you could get out there for that. Cole Coffey, there was another, well, I should say first, I guess, Fernando, because Thiago Mejete is one of your guys. You did a fantastic story on him. He had an incredible performance over Marquardt. Francisco Ronaldo had a great win over Yates Medeiros. John Lineker hits like a damn truck, but Rob Font somehow made it all the way to a decision.
He said Rob Font was like the hardest hitter he ever faced.
Dude, Lineker, when he goes to the body, it's just like, oh, the sound that it makes.
He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe the guy. He was like, I don't even know how the guy was. I was surprised that he chose to strike with me and that he made it all alive, basically. That's what he said to us in the media.
Wow. Lineker's awesome. Yeah, Luan Chagas, Sergio.
That was really cool. I was just going to say, like, I think like Luan Chagas came like as a big winner in this one just because he took the fight on 12. He lost like 10 kilos.
Whoa.
Took the fight in 12 days.
I have
days
no idea
notice.
How much that is, but it sounds a lot.
It's like it's 2 something.
It's like 2.2 pounds per kilo.
Yeah. Okay. So like,
still has no idea how much it is.
Where's my phone calculator?
I've been losing that amount of weight for like 6 months. He did it in 1 week. Like I've been struggling. Probably getting like 4 back this week. Hanging out with you guys.
That's
Trossles.
True. But you still look good. You look good.
Thank you.
You look good.
Thank you.
I'm glad we brought you on for your reporting skills and not that 12 kilos you lost. Just kidding.
Hinata Moisano,
oh
moving
God.
On. Earned a win over Zverev.
Oh no, she's going to knife me.
Feminist rant.
There it comes.
Information. No, I'm just going to let that one slide. You guys have been so great to me throughout the week that I'm not even going to go there.
Well, Cole Coffey, any of those prelims, anything stand out to you that or anything that happened backstage? Just what's going to be your lasting memory of this incredible event?
Well, I probably shouldn't say about all my last team memories of what I'm going to take away from this event, because I thought there were some drops in certain areas, but I won't go there. I mean, I thought it was funny how, you know, even though I don't work for the UFC, I'm back there working with the venue staff to actually get the translation box for English working, because nobody else decided to check to see whether that was working. But besides that, it was just
Just saying.
But no, it was different. It was weird because since not being able to speak Portuguese, which I've been working on it, I have my Zuma down like a champ, which means I want another beer. Well, not so much a beer, but another one. But it was just different because I couldn't understand what a lot of the fighters were. So it was interesting, but it was neat kind of watching through a Brazilian's eyes, watching them talk to these fighters. So I could tell they were good interviews. I'm like, I wish I understood what they're saying. So if anything, I decided I really still want to learn some more Portuguese and whatnot. But I thought the fights were great. I thought the crowd, it was crazy, because even in the room that we were at, just the sound of the crowd would just swell into the room. So it was good. I kind of felt like I got to feel that a little bit. Yeah. I tried to sneak out, but not having the right color lanyard or a ticket to get out into the area, they pretty much shut me down and wouldn't even let me try to take a picture. And not speaking Portuguese, I couldn't swindle my way past the guy. You know, my cute looks didn't do it. I was like, come on.
Just show a little cleavage? He
tried. Damn it, I should have.
I mean.
Right?
I didn't show any cleavage, okay?
No, you didn't need to.
I don't do that.
But it was good. It was fun. But yeah, I mean, the press room, I mean, so many Brazilians won. So it was like being in the front a little bit, because, I mean, they were cheering after all the different ones. And I was just like, come on, guys. But I expected it. I mean, it's the first event they've had this year. They wanted it. They've been waiting for this. I can understand how everybody was so excited. So in the back, it was kind of neat seeing everybody getting caught up in the emotion of the fight, even if they weren't out there actually watching the fight. You know, we were glued to the TV screens. I thought it was crazy because it wasn't like you were waiting for any particular fight, because every fight that came up was a good fight. So it was kind of at a high level excitement the whole night back there. And they fed us well. I mean, it was weird little sandwiches, and half of them you didn't eat, but you still ate them because you're hungry and you're sitting back there.
Pão de queijo.
Oh, I did have – I had lots of the pão de queijo. Pão.
The desserts were good. The dessert bar hard.
And they had that little barbecue sandwich. I think they did because they knew that, like, Americans or whatever.
The pulled pork. It's not a thing in Brazil. I think they did it, like,
they were like, there's some Americans.
Couple of gringos.
Because they had some different, gnocchis in different weird sauces that it was just like – I don't know what the fuck that is.
Tomato and cheese, like, really nothing adventurous.
They did not look really all that good. But,
oh, my God.
You know.
I'm just going to – since we're talking about the food, next time I'm just going to ask for you guys not to be in the media room, because I just ate all night. every chance I got, I'm just going
to – You kind of have to, though, because your energy level goes up and down. You kind of need to replenish and stuff.
And the sugar,
you know?
You
were running around a bit translating. And for you, I know it was exciting and also stressful, because it was the first time we were thrusting you into a role to do that sort of thing. And you don't realize what it does in your body. I know we're – even us, you know, we've been doing this for a long fucking time, that at the end of the night, you're like, why am I so spent? You know, because your energy level, your emotion level goes up and down. You don't realize how much of just even wanting a fighter to win and thinking about this, that by the end of the night, you're like, I'm fucking beat, you know? So they had lots of sugary things in there, which were really good, you know? And there was one chocolate one that looked like it had, like, little Dippin' Dot sort of things.
That was Brigadeiro, Brazilian delicacy.
Oh, my Lord, that was the shit. But
it's the easiest thing to make ever.
It was, how do you make it?
Brigadeiro is, like, condensed milk, and you put it in, like, a pot or whatever, and usually you just mix it, like, with a tablespoon of butter. And to get chocolate, you get chocolate powder. The white one is just condensed milk and the butter. Like, people put coconut sometimes or whatever. And you just have to, like, stir forever. It takes some time, but
thickens and whatnot.
And you usually just eat it, like, straight out of the jar.
Yeah, it was good.
Recipe tips on the MMA Roadshow. That's how we do.
That's how we do. I'm an authentic Brazilian. Well, Fernanda, she's real.
She mentioned, Kokai mentioned it was basically, I think you're like 10 days deep into your working experience now, but we did kind of throw you to the wolves. You did a couple podcast experience. You did some on-camera stuff. Yeah. You did some translation. I mean, we basically had you doing a little bit of everything, which is one of the reasons we brought you on to begin with, is that we knew you could handle all these different roles. But so your first event as, you know, MMA junkie.
Yeah.
What was it like for you? What was the whole week for you as we're putting a nice little bow on it all?
I didn't cry once. It was great.
good thing.
Yeah, I mean, well.
She might have came close.
Yeah.
She had to sit by me all night. She
angry crying, maybe, frustrated crying. I'm just kidding. I just, honestly, though, it's not obviously just because I'm in front of you. You know me. Like, I'm a candid person. I never, like, lie about my feelings to a fault.
Right.
I should be a little bit more reserved now and then. But it's honestly, like, I feel like I made the right call. I left, like, this position as a broadcast partner. It was comfortable television, like, you know, but I left it to, like, pursue something that I love, which is telling stories. At the end of the day, it's what I love doing. And there, like, I did a little bit, but you're so, like, there are restraints, time, so many people involved in the process, like, so many things have to come together just right for you to be able to get the things out the way that you want them to be out. And at the end of the day, I just really missed it, and I missed writing, and I missed just, like, getting creative and just putting my name in things. And that's all I've been doing. It's just been 10 days, but it feels like ages, because, like, I'm getting so much love on Twitter, and I'm getting to, like, get my voice heard, and you guys are giving, like, me so much support and feedback, and I know I get, like, this really cool team behind my back, which is something that I haven't been at for a while, but since Katie's, like, doing the keeping it real thing, I'm just gonna keep it real now. Yeah, and I haven't had keeping a single sip of a drink, by the way. This is just
your frosted beverage has been Coke Zero over there.
This is just full-on Fernanda right there for you guys, but so it's been amazing, and yeah, obviously last night I was kind of like running around a little bit and just trying to get a timing of things. I think that's the one thing that ends up coming with experience doing a certain type of job, but I felt super comfortable with you guys and just kind of like, it's been great. Like, honestly, I'm kind of like in the honeymoon stage, but
oh, it's gonna get real.
You know, it's like
there will be tears and lots of punches thrown eventually.
Yeah, well, tears are kind of like my thing, so I'm a crier, what can I do? But I so far it's been like this amazing experience, and I haven't like doubted my decision to leave my former position.
That is awesome. And, well, I think I can speak for everybody on our team and just everybody out there. I think you've been a fantastic addition to the team. And I think just knowing you as long as I have, you know, and I think people are going to just see even better stuff for you. So I'm a couple frosty beverages in, and I'm ready to be a lot of frosty beverages in, because we've got a day here in Curitiba before we fly home tomorrow.
I got two drunk gringos to babysit for the entire.
That is right. Sounds about like a lot of frosty beverages, okay. And some churrascaria.
Yeah, I think it's maybe on get the some horizon. Meat in our mouth later on.
More sausage jokes. No, yes! More sausage jokes.
Yes.
I'm good with the sausages.
Just wait
that
till I put my sausage in your mouth. You're going to love it so much.
Oh, I'm
Let's go back to that one place around the corner where they had the really good meat.
There were so many men with great tasting sausage.
Oh, right. See, you guys just, I'm going to just, you know.
Churrascaria. Hashtag churrascaria.
Think about that. Think about what my day is going to be like, Twitter people. And yeah. Yeah.
A lot of meat in my mouth.
That's not what I said at all.
That's how you
You're
end a trip.
You're the one talking about
that's
how
that. You end a trip, and you get lots of meat in your mouth, and you go home, go to bed, and you leave in the airport.
Very sophisticated dick jokes. Like, basically, we should change our tagline. And you have a
high, high-level mixed martial arts analysis and dick jokes. And if you love that, that's what you listen to the MMA Roadshow. So from everybody here, we're going to wrap things up in Brazil.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
You didn't give them all our info.
Oh.
We can blooper it in the end reel. This motherfucker forgot to tell you to follow us on the MMA Roadshow at themmaroadshow.com. Twitter at themmaroadshow.
Now we see why I'm the one that always gets the information.
I know. Like, right, I was just like, I was waiting for you to do it.
He's just like putting the blooper quality to it.
Yeah, right. And at MMA Junkie John at you're going to have to tell me how yours is at Nanda Praches underscore thingy.
Yeah, NANDAPRATES. I can spell in English too. Beast.
And then
the underscore.
And then the underscore.
I'll probably just change it to MMA Nanda and just like go with.
You can follow me at The Cold Coffee, THEE Cold Coffee, or Ken S. Hathaway. You can start following Stipe Miocic because he's a fucking champ, and he's from the great state of Ohio. We're on Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're now on Google Play. And we're probably on your mom if you're not watching, motherfucker.